from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's been 100 miles, or any of 100 styles. It's not about the smile you wear, but the way we make out.
Anyone have plans for Memorial Day weekend? Okay, that's a dumb question. Don't believe your kindergarten teacher when she or he told you there was no such thing as a dumb question. That's definitely a dumb question, but how about this? Anyone have plans for Memorial Day weekend that involve flying? Oh, me, pick me. Yep, that's me. And I don't know why we waited until the last second to kind of go through the logistics and figure this part out. But after flying to Austin, Texas for a Memorial Day weekend wedding, that's what my husband and I are doing. Actually, he's leaving on Wednesday morning, so he's leaving in a few hours. He'll be awake and on the way to the airport before we even get through Ask Amy Anything, which is kind of fun. I guess if you want to ask me questions about what married life is like, do it on this edition of the show because he will be listening live. No editing them out. Not that we do that sort of thing ever.
Come on now.
So he's flying on Wednesday morning. I'm not arriving until Friday night. And I'd already said to producer Jay, and I think I said it on the air too, what are the chances that my Friday night flight to start a holiday weekend is actually on time? I am not holding my breath. I'm taking 2 books. My phone is going to have an extra charger. Yeah, I'm just assuming that I'm not going to be on time. Which
2 books for the airport, not even for the flight.
Right, forget the flight. By that time, I'll be exhausted. So then, because my mother-in-law, Bob's mom, is picking him up at the airport on Wednesday, he's going to come get me at the airport on Friday night. So the wedding has a rehearsal dinner. I won't make it for that. He's going to the rehearsal dinner, and then the idea was he would come get me at the airport on Friday night. And I had said to him before, are you sure you don't want me to rent a car? It's about an hour drive. You'll probably be tired. You've had family stuff all day. No, I'll come get you, which is sweet. It's what I would do. But for some reason, neither one of us thought far enough ahead to realize that we would also need a ride back to the airport on Sunday morning at 4:45 a.m. after there was a nighttime wedding just a few hours before that. Neither one of us really thought that through. And there's a couple of reasons. Sunday's a work day, even though it's the middle of a holiday weekend. It's a work day for me. So we don't have a direct flight. We have to go through Atlanta on the way back. So it's a bit of a longer travel sesh. And for that reason, we needed to get out early. So we decided we would start looking for rental cars on Tuesday night. So as he was getting ready for bed and as I was getting ready for the start of the Celtics Pacers game, I realized, it dawned on me, we have no ride back to the airport on Sunday morning. And so I'm thinking, oh man, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we won't really think there's anybody in his family who can take us to the airport at that hour. It could be different if it wasn't pitch black and it wasn't, 4 hours after a reception, right? So we're decided that we can't really ask anyone in his family. So then I think, well, what if we rent a car? We rent it in his town. We drop like the day before. So just rent it for 24 hours. We rent it in his town and we drop it off at the airport. Neat. Nobody has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take us. Easy. Can't be more than $100, right? Jay, the cost of renting a car from the small town where his family lives in Texas, dropping it off at the Austin airport on a holiday weekend, I didn't find anything, and I mean anything, for under $650.
Oh, my.
For 24 hours. $650 to pick it up in one place and drop it off an hour down the road. What? Are people actually paying that?
You can't be, right?
Wouldn't you rather, if you were a car rental association or a car rental company, wouldn't you rather find renters for the cars that you have? There is no reasonable human on the planet that is paying $700 once you factor in fees and taxes for a 24-hour car rental to go from one place to another place with essentially an hour of driving.
No, you couldn't do that. You couldn't justify that.
No, who can afford that anyway? But I can't afford that. But regardless, that's insane. Wouldn't you rather have your cars rented than have them just sitting there?
My only guess, I don't know, from their side would be maybe they think they're going to sell out of all of them this weekend that they have, and they'd... In order to get rid of it for just that short amount of time, they're going to charge so much for it.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Right.
So the website indicates there is a fee associated with picking it up in one place and dropping it off at another, which is, I don't know, it's kind of dumb. It's an hour apart. What's the big deal? But even so, I can't imagine the fee is $650. So regardless, that was out.
It's to the same company, right?
Yeah, same company.
Right.
Just to... One airport.
A different Alamo or whatever.
Yeah, little bitty airport in a smaller town in Texas to the Austin airport. Right? No big deal. But that's out because 24 hours at $700 is way above my budget. It's like quarterback money. Anyway, so then I think, well, how about I rent a car when I come in late on Friday night? We'd have it for 2 days, technically. Mm-hmm. Take it back on Sunday morning. That's got to be less than $650. Well, it was, but it was $300. And in fact, there were some that were available for $500. Right. So it's less than what I would have had to pay to do different, point to point. But it's still not affordable. So we are now looking at Uber at that hour of the morning, which is, at last we checked, $130.
Wow.
That is insane.
It's the holiday weekend. That's for Uber.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Time, yeah, they'll get you.
Yeah. It seems, again, though, I don't understand why you'd want cars just sitting there on the lot. If you can make money off of them, I can't imagine these companies really think that anyone is going to pay $500 to rent a car for 36 hours.
I wouldn't think so.
But I could be wrong. There could be desperate peeps out there. So it's either going to be Uber or I don't think there's a bus running at that hour. Not that we would take a bus from his family home to Austin. So, yeah, not really sure what we're going to do. It's the logistics are all kinds of goofy. But this is what you have to do if it's a family wedding that you cannot miss and don't want to miss. We don't want to miss the wedding. So, but traveling on a holiday weekend, it's something I've not done for years, right? Because I usually work. And I will be back on time. Sunday night into Monday and then Monday night into Tuesday. I will definitely be here, even if it means we have to walk to the airport. Okay, I'll walk to the airport.
A light jog.
We'll just leave when the reception ends, start walking, and we'll get to the airport in time. Or bikes. I wonder if anyone in his family has bikes.
Rollerblades. There's ways.
Yeah, seriously.
Scooter.
Hitchhiking at this point.
It's an option.
Why not? 2 o'clock in the morning. What could possibly go wrong?
It's always an option.
In Texas. With looser gun laws than what we're used to in New Jersey.
Be careful.
Yes, right. Just be careful. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I know. It's a holiday weekend. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a little bit outrageous.
That's outrageous.
On Twitter, at A-Law Radio, if you haven't seen the photos of the newborn baby bunnies, this was kind of funny. I forgot to tell you this, Jay. Some guy responded to the photo of the bunnies that I put on Facebook. Those aren't newborns.
Oh? What are they?
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know when they were born in my yard. I appreciate that. And I know they're newborns because they weren't there Saturday. So sometime between Saturday afternoon and Monday afternoon, those babies were born. And so, yes, they're newborns. They're not more than 48 hours old. But he tried to argue with me. So I wrote back and I said, I know when they were born. Thank you. And he gives me a heart. Like on Facebook, this is what happens. People just want a reaction. They do not care whether what they say on social media is accurate or truth is irrelevant on social. Only thing that matters is you get a response. That's the only thing that matters.
So there was no sort of like why they weren't newborns. It was
his reaction to the photo is those aren't newborns. Oh.
See, like the bunny creator?
He's the bunny expert, apparently, even when they're in someone else's yard.
Even if he's a bunny expert, he still wouldn't, I don't know, he doesn't know when they were born, right? You were there. You were literally there.
Right. And I was still there on Monday. I could see their eyes weren't open. So here's how we know that mama is still taking care of her babies. Many of you have asked me for a bunny update. It's Bunny Central. It's the bunny yard now in my neighborhood. Anyway, mama was clearly there because when Bob went out on Tuesday morning and then when I went out on Tuesday evening, the nest is nearly covered over. You can't see it anymore. Now, this is interesting. He saw a chipmunk run out of the tall grass. So there's 9 inches of grass now around this nest. We left it. We didn't mow it. And apparently a chipmunk darted out of the grass when he walked out on Tuesday morning. So I don't know whether or not the chipmunk was investigating or chipmunks don't eat other animals, do they?
Let me find out.
Oh, you're going to Google it?
I don't think so.
I mean, the chipmunk is barely bigger than the baby bunnies. In fact, the chipmunk might get sat on by the mama bunny and be in a world of hurt.
Chipmunks are omnivores.
Right, that's what I thought. They eat grass and flowers.
Both. Omnivores is plant and animals. Herbivore.
Oh, come on. Chipmunks aren't going to eat baby bunnies.
Not baby bunnies. Well, I don't know that for sure, but it says their diet includes seeds, nuts, berries, fruits, mushrooms, insects, worms, snails, frogs, and small birds.
Chipmunks eat all of that?
Yeah, that's a lot of food, right?
That's a lot of garbage.
That is.
They eat small birds?
Apparently, and worms.
How would it? Well, that I can understand because you can dig them out of the ground. How in the world would a chipmunk somehow catch a bird?
It would be quite the acrobatic chipmunk.
I thought birds ate chipmunks, not the other way around.
Some of them do. I guess that's larger birds.
All right, so herbivore, omnivore, carnivore. I just didn't hear carnivore, and I attached myself to that.
They eat baby mice, too, apparently.
Oh, no. Well, if they do, then I wonder. Shoot, do you think the babies are okay?
You checked on them since you saw him run out,
well,
right?
I did, yeah. Right, but I didn't move. So covered over the hole, there was grass. So clearly, Mama Bunny had been working with her back legs to cover the hole. So there's the fur. Not only was there a layer of her fur that completely covered the opening of the nest, but then there was grass that was laying down on top of the nest as well. So I could barely see the nest. I wouldn't have known it was there if not for our discovery on Monday.
Then I'd say they're safe.
You think so?
I think so.
But what? Oh,
it would
no.
be all messed up, right? If they weren't, if someone got in there.
Someone.
Something.
Something got in there. But I didn't see them moving, though. So what if they're gone?
They're sleeping.
They're sleeping? Okay.
Just resting.
They're newborn, so they probably need a lot of sleep.
Probably. Or they saw the chipmunk in the area and just, like, you know, did a stay still kind of thing.
No, they can't really move. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that deters the chipmunk who likely uses scent. I don't think they can protect themselves. That would be Mama Bunny. I hope she's not far away.
Bunny, Mama Bunny versus chipmunk.
Oh, I'd take the bunny every time. They're fierce.
So?
Have you ever seen them with their back legs?
They do have good back legs, but yeah. The chipmunk's got those teeth. I guess bunnies have teeth, too.
I was just going to say, yeah. I'm glad you corrected yourself. Have you ever seen a rabbit's teeth?
But are they known? Like, chipmunks are known for that, like, no. You know, like that.
It doesn't
munch.
Matter. The bunny outweighs the chipmunk, I'm sure, by, I don't know, 3-4 times. But also those back legs, I'm telling you, you got to be careful of wild rabbits. Those back legs are.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think it's a good fight.
A bunny and a chip. A mama bunny protecting her babies and a chipmunk?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't even know who you are.
Just thinking about it in nature. It could happen.
No. A mother rabbit protecting her babies and a nest? There's no way.
You think she's going to win every time?
Oh, yeah. Don't underestimate mamas who are protecting babies.
What about neutral site?
Now, if she, I still say the bunny outweighs. What is the chipmunk going to do?
Be quick and like gnaw. What if it gnaws at the hind legs?
Gnaw. How would you kill a bunny by gnawing at its back legs?
Well, that just like, you know, disorients it and gets it out of its game.
No, it just makes the rabbit mad. That's what it does. Okay, this is a mindless discussion. In fact, it's a mind-numbing discussion. But now I'm a little worried. Now I feel like we need to go check on the bunnies because the chipmunk was squirreling around in there. All right. Anyway, maybe I'll do that on Friday morning or let the dog to run around a little bit. Just make sure she doesn't get anywhere near the rabbit nest.
I need an update now.
Me too. Do you feel like I should move the fur and the grass aside on Wednesday morning just to make sure the bunnies are okay?
Oh, I don't know.
Shoot, I will be heartbroken if a chipmunk got to them.
I think they're okay because the nest is still fine, but I don't know if like you should go in there and like move it around. Is that... You know.
Right. I mean, from what we've heard and read, mama isn't going to reject the baby simply because there was a human around. Mm-hmm. Just leave them is what most people said. And that's what Bob and I decided to do. But once he saw the chipmunk, I got a little nervous.
You could check on him. Just kind of like get in there. Don't like maybe don't touch or just kind of like, you know, get a good
what
visual.
If I get, I don't know, a ruler or something and just kind of gently push aside the
maybe
the grass.
Like a pencil.
Yeah, just gently push aside the grass and the fur just to make
just
sure they're still in there.
A quick visual and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
A quick visual. Maybe some, what are those called? Night vision goggles? Some night vision goggles. Heat seekers? Aren't those...
Send Bob out right now with some night vision.
Poor guy's actually about to get up in 45 minutes. Heat signatures? I'll look for heat signatures. I need to borrow some military equipment that will... thermal imaging.
Thermal scope, yeah.
What great lengths we go to. I bet that'd cost less than what it would cost me to rent a car
probably
and drive
right.
It an hour on Sunday morning. All right, coming up, more reaction to Celtics and Pacers and Indiana letting one get away. Oh, and speaking of Indiana, Caitlin Clark just got richer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. Our show Twitter at Amy After Hours, about 90 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. So send your questions to either of our social media. Some of your questions crack me up. My favorite still is, how is Jay doing? It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Celtics do not have a foul to give. 5.7 to go for the Pacers to get one good shot to get game one back. We're tied at 117. What a crazy finish. Nembhard will trigger the inbound. Lobs it to Halliburton. Halliburton to his right. Gets to 20 feet. Tatum chases him behind the line. Halliburton forces it up. No good. It's overtime.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, Grandy and Max on the Celtics Radio Network. That was a little anticlimactic, actually, considering what happened just seconds before that when the Pacers fumbled an inbounds play, turned it over, and really turnovers were the nemesis of the Pacers in this game. Every time the Celtics built a lead or would grab momentum, it was because of the Pacers' turnovers. So starting out, they had the first 12 points of the game. Then in the third quarter, a 13-0 run predicated largely on turnovers. And that was maybe the most costly, leading to a Jaylen Brown triple in the corner on the next inbounds play for the Celtics. And while I understand the idea of, hey, don't foul him once he has the ball, there's still missed opportunity there. It took a couple ticks from the time the ball got inbounded from Drew Holiday to Jaylen Brown. But Pascal Siakam was a little bit out of position because he'd been screened off the play by Derek White and then had to get around. By the time he got to Jaylen, Jaylen had already gathered the ball and was going up for the three, and Pascal got nervous about fouling him. So a lot happening. A lot had to go the Celtics' way, but give them credit for forcing the turnover. And then Jaylen Brown, humongous three at the end of regulation. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Jason Tatum with 10 points in overtime. And he knows they have to be a lot better. He said this one would hurt a ton, maybe sting a little bit more than a loss normally would because I did not shoot well. But yeah, that overtime, that was new life. He said they were telling each other, okay, we survived, we made it. This is where we take control of this game, right? We managed to get it to overtime. Let's not squander another opportunity.
That was wild. But just stay present, stay in the moment. As long as their time is still on the clock and the game is within reach, we feel like we have a chance.
We knew they were going to be faster than surprises, but it's one thing watching it on film and then seeing it in person. They just got out of a dogfight with New York, and it just felt like they was just flying by us, getting easy layups. We got to be better. We got to match their intensity if we want to win this series.
26 from Jaylen Brown, 36 from Jason Tatum, but how about a season-high 28 from the point guard Drew Holiday, the one guy who's got the championship experience from his days with Milwaukee?
Just continually being aggressive, continually working on my game, continually having the coaches and my teammates in my ear telling me that they're going to need me.
They definitely did. He was aggressive, had a couple of drives to the hoop late in this game that gave the Celtics the points and the possessions that they needed, plus had the 8 assists. As for the Pacers, again, this one stings because of the way that you play the what-if game, right? What if we don't turn the ball over with 10 seconds to go? What if we do foul? Even after we turn the ball over, we still have the three-point lead with just a handful of seconds left on the clock. What if we do foul the second that ball gets inbounded? We're not out of position, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You know how it goes. It's particularly painful. And Rick Carlisle, he took the blame. He said this was on him going back to that inbounds play for the Pacers when they're up 117-114.
This loss is totally on me. With 10 seconds in regulation, we should have just taken the timeout, advanced the ball, and found a way to get it in and made a free throw or two and ended the game. But it didn't happen, and we made some other mistakes, but our guys just need to concentrate on fighting the way they fought in this game from start to finish, and we'll be back Thursday.
That's not on him. That's not on him. Us as players, we got to do a better job. I had two bad turnovers that I feel like cost us the game, one in fourth and one in overtime. So, I know I understand he's protecting us, protecting me as well. But I'll take that more than he should. I got to be better, and I will be better in game two, and we'll respond the right way.
Tyrese Halliburton, 25 points, 10 assists, also had 3 steals, and it was a lot of fun to watch this team figure it out, right? So they're coming off of the Game 7 against the Knicks. Granted, they shot the lights out, set a new field goal percentage record for a playoff game, and it, I don't want to say it was no contest. The Knicks pulled within a handful of points a couple of times, but just didn't have the firepower or the manpower to be able to sustain that comeback. So the Pacers did win it going away. But still, an emotional series, an electric atmosphere at Madison Square Garden. What did Rick Carlisle say? You win a playoff game in New York at MSG, you make history. And so there's an emotional component to them beating the Knicks in 7 games. To have to turn around then and not just the scout, but the preparation that's involved in getting ready for the Celtics. Now, I dare say the assistant coaches on the Pacers staff were already preparing for the Celtics. And sure, you see them during the regular season, but it's a different animal when you get to the playoffs. And so in advance of them even winning Game 7, you've already got coaches that are working on scout. But the players are not, right? The players are focused on what they're doing. So you have a travel... you have 48 hours to travel and to scout and to try to catch your breath and to maybe get a little bit of rest. And it's a tough ask, but that is the playoffs. It's survive in advance. So for all of those reasons, I can understand why it was a bit of a slower start for the Pacers. The issue, though, is that you had it. You had it in the palm of your hands. And how many opportunities do you get against the Celtics on their own court? And so this one stings simply because it was right there for the taking. However, Tyrese Halliburton, unflummoxed, same thing from Pascal Siakam. They both believe, and maybe this was a confidence boost as well, they are right there step by step with the Celtics.
And we know we can play with these guys. I mean, that's for y'all to say that we don't, you know, there's a lot of people out here saying we don't belong here. We don't really care. We know we belong. I think it's discouraging just because of the plays that happened, you know, down the stretch. We feel like we were in position to win the game and just didn't win the game.
We just got to move on from it. Just at the end of the day, it's one loss and keep our heads up and just correct some of the things that we didn't do well and trying to continue to get better. And we think it's going to be a long series. So, yeah, just have that mindset.
Looking forward to game number 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you've got game 1, the opener of Mavs and Timberwolves that happens on Wednesday in Minneapolis, which is really cool. For all the work the Timberwolves did all season, when Kat went down with, what was it, like 6 weeks to go? Maybe it's 2 months to go in the regular season. And Anthony Edwards takes over and has the best stretch of his life, which isn't saying a whole lot considering he's 22. But he really steps up into a star position, a position with a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility, and he rises to the occasion, and he's done that in the playoffs as well, though there have been a couple of games, including Game 7 against the Nuggets, in which he didn't shoot as well, but he's so active. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm wondering who draws the assignment on Luka, right? And maybe if we're really lucky, I don't really believe in luck, but if we're lucky, we get Ant Edwards versus Kyrie Irving for the majority of the series. Although, I don't know. We'll see how the Mavericks kind of protect, and it'll be interesting, the matchups and the way that, similar to a chess match, you've got the two coaches who are adjusting to one another as the series goes on. And so that'll be a lot of fun coming up on Wednesday. Of course, we'll be here following it after hours with Amy Lawrence. Our friend Alan in Toronto has been waiting on the phones, and so he joins us now here on the show. What do you think of these 4 series left?
I'm intrigued by all 4. The Rangers haven't won since 1994, 30 years ago. That's a nice round figure. And the Panthers have never won. They reached the finals in 1996 and 2003.
Yeah, 0's an even rounder Dallas, figure, yes.
Yeah. Dallas hasn't won since 1999. Edmonton hasn't won since 1990, so it's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the NBA, the last 5 years has been a different champion. And this is going to be the 6th year. And the Celtics and the Lakers are in a dead heat. They each won 17 championships, and so I want the Celtics to break that record. You know, it's been quite a rivalry. And the Pacers, look at what they were last year, 35-47, and the year before was 25-57. So they've really made giant strides up the ladder. If they win, it's going to make Cinderella seem like a sad story. The Mavericks have only won once in 2011, and the Timberwolves have never won. So it's going to be very intriguing. So,
do you have a particular team that you're rooting for, other than the Celtics, I suppose?
Yeah, and the Rangers too. I've been a Rangers fan since the original 6 days. You know, from 42 to 67, they were in the original six, and they had a lot of heartbreaking losses. And so I'm kind of rooting for the Rangers too.
Neat. All right. Well, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate these next couple weeks. You have no nights off, Alan.
Yeah, I was in Honolulu back in 2002, and it was my absolute favorite place of all time, because one side you had the tranquility of the beach, and the other side you had it was either like Midtown Manhattan or the or the Loop in Chicago or Bourbon Street. So whatever world you wanted, you had it there. Which world did you like the best, the tranquility, or did you like the hustle and bustle of a rat race?
No, not for a honeymoon. We went to Honolulu specifically to go to Pearl Harbor. That was the number one, really the only reason we went to Honolulu. And that was absolutely worth the 48 hours in, as you say, what felt like Times Square in New York. And it was not only tourists, it was, I would say, 60% Japanese tourists, which is kind of interesting. And a lot of the restaurants and the stores in that area, Waikiki, which is where we were staying, really did cater to Japanese tourists as well. And so we did Pearl Harbor. Then we climbed Diamond Head, which was awesome. I know that's another iconic site there. We had a little bit of a tour, like a morning tour, a couple of hours outside of that area. But for the most part, our time in Honolulu was spent right in the middle of all the fray at Waikiki. And the beach is really nice. It's just that it was crowded a lot. I did see my first sea turtle there, though, Alan, in Waikiki on the beach.
And Aloha Stadium, I was at the 2002. I was there in 2002, and it went to the Pro Bowl, and it was 38-20, the AFC over the NFC. Bill Cowher and Andy Reid, the Battle of Pennsylvania, they were the coaches. Rich Gannon was the MVP, and they haven't had a Pro Bowl since 2016. Did you go by Aloha Stadium? Did you see it?
We did. We did see it. It's not being used anymore, is it?
No, it hasn't been used. They don't even use it. Eventually, they're going to tear it down because they just haven't used it.
Yeah.
So it's in close proximity to Pearl Harbor. It's not that far away. So
yeah, we got to see a lot of that area. But our favorite part of the honeymoon was spent on the Big Island. A little more our style.
And I like the game's seven phrases. I've got three of them: do or die, now or never. No tomorrow for the loser, and if it's the last game of the season for the championship, it's no tomorrow for either team. So
that's right.
You were asking some of the phrases. Those are my three favorite phrases.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing those with us, Alan. Always good to have you.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Amy. You've brought a lot of happiness over the years, and I'm glad you got married because you're entitled to happiness yourself.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Alan. Good to talk to you. Have a great Wednesday in Toronto. Alan's a big fan. He's been, he's a devoted listener. He's been listening to the show going back to the days when Marco and I first worked together on the weekends. But I don't want to say that it's just us. I'm fairly certain that he listens and calls into other Infinity Sports Network shows as well.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. He is what we call a P1. And I say that with all the affection in the world. 855-212-4227. We can get to more of your calls. Yes, Eastern Conference Finals underway, West Finals starting on the hard court, and then we've got hockey as well with the East on Wednesday, about an hour away from Ask Amy Anything. So send your questions to our show Twitter at Amy After Hours or also our Facebook page. Marco, did you know that chipmunks will eat birds as well as baby mice? I'm a little bit concerned because my husband saw a chipmunk darting out of the tall grass where the baby bunnies were. And so I'm nervous. I didn't realize they ate animals. I thought they only ate plants. And so now that we've found out that there are crossovers, that they're sometimes vegetarians, but sometimes meat eaters. Now I'm a little nervous because I went over there on Tuesday evening and the rabbit nest is all covered up, right? So there's plenty of mama's fur and then grass even that's been stamped down.
Okay.
You can tell the mama was doing work. She didn't like the fact that babies were exposed, and so she covered them up. But if the chipmunk got in there,
I don't know.
Marco.
I got to be fair. I have no idea, and I didn't know chipmunks were Carnivores. I was unaware of this.
Well, they're omnivores.
Well, whatever. I was unaware of this.
Me too. I mean, now I feel like I need to check on them just to make sure they're okay.
You could try to do it when the mother rabbit's not there.
Right. Well, in the middle of daylight, she's probably not there.
Then try it then. Yeah, because she's gonna be a little annoyed.
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh no. Annoyed. Yeah. He says. Yeah. Also, you can settle an argument before we go to a break. Jay believes that a chipmunk is the winner in a chipmunk versus mama bunny fight. I say no way. I say it's got to be mama bunny.
I've never given this. I'm gonna probably go with the bunny, but I didn't know that the chipmunk was an omnivore. So now I may have to. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I thought birds ate chipmunks, not the other way around.
I don't know. I mean, there's chipmunks everywhere where I am, so I never, I don't know, I never thought of it. It never crossed my mind.
How in the world would a chipmunk swallow a baby bunny? I mean, the chipmunks are, never mind, I don't even want to think about it.
It could be done.
All right, thanks, Jay.
Do they are they like squirrels? Do they store the nuts in their mouth so that they have like the ability to do all that?
Like a snake effect.
That's what I'm saying.
Jaw.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is that gross. All right, we're not talking about it anymore. I'm sorry I brought it up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's expel Marco from this conversation.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Won't foul here with 7 on the shot clock. Conley left angle. Drives on Michael Porter Jr. Runs it up. No. Slam follow. Karl Anthony Towns. He soared in from the wing. He puts the Wolves up 7 with 39 seconds left.
It showed us who we are. Because the coaches believed in us, even though at halftime, even in the third, it was down 20. They like, just keep making runs. And it showed us who we are, man. Once we really lock in on the defensive end, because offensively we played okay. But once we really lock in on the defensive end, man, we're a hell of a team to beat.
Left side Dub firing a 70-footer at the buzzer that he misses wide left. And the Mavericks move on to the Western Conference Finals. Coming from 17 back at home to take game 6. 117-116 over the gritty, young, incredibly resourceful Thunder. What a season it's been for OKC, and what a gut-wrenching loss in game 6.
I think we just stay together. We always talk on the bench, stay together, positive energy, and today was a pure example of it.
Getting you to the good half of your week, it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Mavericks Radio and Luka Doncic, along with Timberwolves Radio and Anthony Edwards, should be a lot of fun. Some major star power and some really unique personalities as well in the upcoming Western Conference Finals on the hard court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 1 hour until you get to ask Amy anything. Producer Jay is checking social media furiously. Refresh at Amy After Hours on Twitter. You can also take our poll about the Final Four playoff series in hoops and hockey, and then our Facebook page as well for the next hour. 855-212-4227. Fonzie is in Fort Worth. What are you thinking about the Mavs?
Hey, Amy, how you doing, girl? I'm first things first, congratulations on the wedding. I'm glad you got married.
Thank you.
Yeah, but second thing is that I just want to see your opinion about the Mavericks and Timberwolves. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, that part I don't know. I never make predictions, especially not during playoffs, because crazy things happen, right? But I do think that the Mavericks are in a good spot right now. I like the confidence that they've built, not only from the guys that were part of the 22 run to the Western Conference Finals, but also the way that they were taking on a young, athletic, very talented team in the Oklahoma City Thunder who really had nothing to lose. I like that they won on the road. I appreciate the fact that they would correct mistakes and make adjustments over the course of that series. And I do think that the way that Luka and Kyrie are playing together, it's not just those two guys, of course, but they are getting help from other guys too, which I think is critical. So yeah, right now they're in a really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is I'm excited because we're underdogs. And so in 2011, we were also a third seed, and we just came up from being underdogs in every series that we played. So I just have a very good feeling that we have a very good chance this year.
Oh, good. I mean, I love what we saw from them at the end of that Thunder series, right? The fact that they had to rally themselves from what was, shoot, I can't remember, double figures down. I can't remember exactly how 17. Many it was. Okay, 17. Thank you. And so the fact that they did it and they were able to really feed off that home crowd, so I think that'll be huge. Getting guys, or I mean, just their rookie, Derek Lively, off the bench for a double-double is enormous, right? This is his first playoff run, and so everything he gives. And then the clutch PJ Washington stepping to the free throw line to put them up one in that moment with everything that's happening around him. Yeah, there's guys who are taking taking charge and are, I think, rising to the occasion, and they're doing it as a team, which I would not have told you was possible with Kyrie Irving before this year, but it's impressive.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's exciting because like Derrick Jones Jr. was a last team fit at the very beginning of the season, and now he's a big role player for us.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that every piece that we have is making a good move for us to have a chance to win the championship this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's other than the Celtics, who obviously have the pressure of being the best record in the league and, of course, reaching their third straight conference finals. I mean, they're a team that's run into disappointment over and over. The other three teams, Mavericks, Timberwolves, and Pacers, it's first time in a long time. So I think this is great. It's great for basketball.
Well, it's our second Western Conference Finals in 3 years. So mm-hmm. I think we have the experience over the Timberwolves. And that's, I think Timberwolves are a better team than us. But I think with our experience and Kyrie Irving leading the way, I think we have a really good chance with this series.
So you're saying there's a chance. Oh, there's always a chance, of course. But I don't know that experience mattered as much against the Nuggets, who had way more than did the Timberwolves in their series.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you for your time, Amy. Have a good night.
You too. Good to talk to you, Fonzie, in Fort Worth. Fort Worth Fonzie. You know me and how much I love alliteration. 855-212-4227. Coming up next hour, what? QB news? What? I know it's May, but it's that time of the year where you've got some guys who show up for OTAs and some guys who don't show up for OTAs.
Credence to that.
And I do think it's a humorous exercise when there are reporters and insiders out there who legit report on every single guy who's not showing up for, voluntary OTAs. We're also going to do some baseball, but did you happen to see this moment? There is video that goes along with it. Jay, maybe you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours. But how much more I admire Bryce Harper for the fact that he showed up on some young woman's doorstep and helped a young man who really wanted to ask her to the prom.
Hi, Julia.
I'm going to prom.
How's it going? Jake wants to ask you to prom, so I thought I'd help him out. If you want to go to prom with him. So are you going to prom with him?
Yes!
Awesome!
Was there ever a chance that she was going to say no? Absolutely not. Not with Bryce Harper, who, by the way, she hugged first.
Before the guy
who asked her to the prom. Yeah, well, of course. And I would expect that, considering that the guy on her doorstep is someone she knows, and maybe she didn't expect him to be there, but it's not nearly the shock value as Bryce Harper standing on your doorstep. So, yeah, in addition to him hitting no doubt home runs and Ranger Suarez now at 9-0 and the Phillies with the best record in Major League Baseball, Bryce Harper shows up on this young woman's door with, I think it sounds like Jake, not Jake from State Farm, shows up on her door. She is blown away. She recognizes him immediately.
I stared right at him.
She should, because he's wearing his hat and sweatpants and he looks like a jock. So she hugs him right away, and then he kind of gives this little speech. Maybe it's a practice speech. I'm not really sure. But he gives her a little spiel and then puts her on the spot. So will you go to prom with him? Duh.
You have to, right?
If only so I can get your attention. If only so I can make you happy, Bryce Harper. Absolutely. I will go to prom with this guy whose name I can't remember right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's expel Marco from this conversation.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
here with seven on the shot clock. Conley left angle. Drives on Michael Porter Jr. Runs it up. No. Slam follow. Carl Anthony Towns. He soared in from the wing. He puts the Wolves up seven with 39 seconds left.
It showed us who we are. Because the coaches believed in us, even though at halftime, even in the third, we was down 20. They like, just keep making runs, keep making runs. And it showed us who we are, man. Once we really lock in on the defensive end, because offensively, we played okay. But once we really lock in on the defensive end, man, we're a hell of a team to beat.
Left side, Dub firing a 70-footer at the buzzer that he misses. Wide left, and the Mavericks move on to the Western Conference Finals. Coming from 17 back at home to take game six, 117-116 over the gritty, young, incredibly resourceful Thunder. What a season it's been for OKC, and what a gut-wrenching loss in game six.
I think we just stayed together. We always talk on the bench, stayed together, positive energy, and today was a pure example of it.
Getting you to the good half of your week, it's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Mavericks Radio and Luka Doncic, along with Timberwolves Radio and Anthony Edwards, should be a lot of fun. Some major star power and some really unique personalities as well in the upcoming Western Conference Finals on the hard court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 1 hour until you get to ask Amy anything. Producer Jay is checking social media furiously. Refresh at Amy After Hours on Twitter. You can also take our poll about the Final Four playoff series in hoops and hockey, and then our Facebook page as well for the next hour. 855-212-4227. Fonzie is in Fort Worth. What are you thinking about the Mavs?
Hey Amy, how you doing, girl? First thing first, congratulations on the wedding. I'm glad you got married.
Thank you.
Yeah, but second thing is that I just want to see your opinion about the Mavericks and Timberwolves. Who do you think is going to win?
Well, that part I don't know. I never make predictions, especially not during playoffs, because crazy things happen, right? But I do think that the Mavericks are in a good spot right now. I like the confidence that they've built, not only from the guys that were part of the 22 run to the Western Conference Finals, but also the way that they were taking on a young, athletic, very talented team in the Oklahoma City Thunder who really had nothing to lose. I like that they won on the road. I appreciate the fact that they would correct mistakes and make adjustments over the course of that series. And I do think that the way that Luka and Kyrie are playing together, it's not just those two guys, of course, but they are getting help from other guys too, which I think is critical. So yeah, right now they're in a really good spot.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is I'm excited because we're underdogs. And so in 2011, we were also a third seed, and we just came up from being underdogs in every series that we played. So I just have a very good feeling that we have a very good chance this year.
Oh, good. I mean, I love what we saw from them at the end of that Thunder series, right? The fact that they had to rally themselves from what was, I can't remember, double figures down. I can't remember exactly how 17. Many it was. Okay, 17, thank you. And so the fact that they did it and they were able to really feed off that home crowd, so I think that'll be huge. Getting guys, just their rookie, Derek Lively, off the bench for a double-double is enormous, right? This is his first playoff run, and so everything he gives. And then the clutch PJ Washington stepping to the free throw line to put them up one in that moment with everything that's happening around him. Yeah, there's guys who are taking taking charge and are, I think, rising to the occasion, and they're doing it as a team, which I would not have told you was possible with Kyrie Irving before this year, but it's impressive.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's exciting because like Derrick Jones Jr. was a last team fit at the very beginning of the season, and now he's a big role player for us.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that every piece that we have is making a good move for us to have a chance to win the championship this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's other than the Celtics, who obviously have the pressure of being the best record in the league and, of course, reaching their third straight conference finals, and they're a team that's run into disappointment over and over. The other three teams, Mavericks, Timberwolves, and Pacers, it's first time in a long time. So I think this is great. It's great for basketball.
Well, it's our second Western Conference Finals in 3 years. So mm-hmm. I think we have the experience over the Timberwolves. And that's, I think Timberwolves are a better team than us. But I think with our experience and Kyrie Irving leading the way, I think we have a really good chance with this series.
So you're saying there's a chance. Oh, there's always a chance, of course. But I don't know that experience mattered as much against the Nuggets, who had way more than did the Timberwolves in their series.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you for your time, Amy. Have a good night.
You too. Good to talk to you, Fonzie, in Fort Worth. Fort Worth Fonzie. You know me and how much I love alliteration. 855-212-4227. Coming up next hour, what? QB news? What? I know it's May, but it's that time of the year where you've got some guys who show up for OTAs and some guys who don't show up for OTAs.
Credence to that.
And I do think it's a humorous exercise when there are reporters and insiders out there who legit report on every single guy who's not showing up for voluntary OTAs. We're also going to do some baseball, but did you happen to see this moment? There is video that goes along with it. Jay, maybe you can retweet it from our show account at Amy After Hours, but how much more I admire Bryce Harper for the fact that he showed up on some young woman's doorstep and helped a young man who really wanted to ask her to the prom.
Hi, Julia.
I'm going to prom.
How's it going? Jake wants to ask you to prom, so I thought I'd help him out. So are you going to prom with him?
Yes!
Awesome! Hey.
Was there ever a chance that she was going to say no? Absolutely not. Not with Bryce Harper, who, by the way, she hugged first.
Before the guy
who asked her to the prom. Yeah, well, of course. And I would expect that, considering that the guy on her doorstep is someone she knows, and maybe she didn't expect him to be there, but it's not nearly the shock value as Bryce Harper standing on your doorstep. So, yeah, in addition to him hitting no doubt home runs and Ranger Suarez now at 9-0 and the Phillies with the best record in Major League Baseball, Bryce Harper shows up on this young woman's door with, I think it sounds like Jake, not Jake from State Farm, shows up on her door. She is blown away. She recognizes him immediately.
I stared right at him.
She should, because he's wearing his hat and sweatpants, and he looks like a jock. So she hugs him right away, and then he kind of gives this little speech. Maybe it's a practice speech. I'm not really sure. But he gives her a little spiel and then puts her on the spot. So will you go to prom with him? Duh.
I have to, right?
If only so I can get your attention. If only so I can make you happy, Bryce Harper. Absolutely. I will go to prom with this guy whose name I can't remember right now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.